Good morning, Tony. It's really nice to talk to you again.
And you. It's always good and fun, but it's been a bit warm and a bit soggy, hasn't it?
It's just an unbelievable autumn, actually. We had an unbelievable summer with masses and masses of fruit. And the acorns came down, and it was called a mast year, which is interesting. And that was because the trees were under stress. And they thought, oh, blimey, you know, we may be going to die soon. Therefore, we'd better put more acorns on.
And so, why would that be? Just explain that a little more, because...
Right. When a tree is under stress, it thinks, oh, blimey, you know, we haven't got long to live. And so, really, we need to put out an extra lot of seeds and things like that.
Why would it be thinking that, though?
Beech does it. Beech trees and... oaks, particularly.
Yeah, but why? Why would they be stressing like that?
Because of the hot summer and no water.
Ah, right, gotcha. But there's been plenty of water since.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't have an awful lot of rain, did we, during the summer?
No.
And it was extremely hot, so the trees get stressed. But anyway, it's all done now. But the interesting part about it is that all the oaks everywhere are absolutely fine. But the evergreen oak, which is didn't have many acorns on it at all, which was I find very interesting. But, you know, it's a bit technical, really.
Yeah. Keep your pets away from those things as well, because they're not good.
Let's just talk gardening.
Yeah.
One of the things that I haven't got a pond in my garden, but I do have a small sort of area where the water collects in there, and that's very good for hedgehogs and things like that. But you do need to clear the leaves away from it, and especially if you've got a pond, you do need to clear the leaves off the top. One of the reasons for that actually is because it all drops down to the floor of the pond, and you get a smelly, horrible mess. So. Other than that, as far as my garden's concerned, I'm looking at my pots and containers at the moment, and I'm raising them up off the ground. Two reasons for that. A, it makes sure that the water gets through the hole in the bottom, and you need to check that so that the roots haven't actually bunged up the hole at the bottom. And also, if you wrap your pots as well as the top, if we're going to have a real big freeze, everybody just puts fleece over the top of the plant there, but it's the roots that need the that need frost protection as well.
Yeah.
And so you can either use bubble wrap or hessian if you've got any hessian around. I don't know how many people do have hessian.
I think
these
more
days.
People have got bubble wrap, which has finally given us a good use for it. Because lots of things come wrapped in bubble wrap these days, and everybody goes, what do I do with this? And stand as they're clicking, popping it, but don't save it, and you can wrap your plants in it.
That's right. And so it's a recycle, reuse, really. Last year I had my greenhouse, and I will this year, all my greenhouse bubble wrapped. But the old bubble wrap, I take out, shove it in a compost bag, and then reuse it for my pots. So it's recycle reuse, which I think is a good idea.
Yeah, it's a really good idea. And of course, because it's plastic, it's the best thing to do with it is to recycle it. Now, the other thing you got to do this time of year, we were talking about the trees and the summer and all the rest of it, and then you mentioned about a big freeze. Of course, nobody knows whether we're actually going to get one or not, do we?
Well, we don't. But I think it's better to be. I mean, there's no point us, having loads and loads of containers there, and then all of a sudden one night they say, "Oh, we've got 10 degrees of frost or something," and everybody has to rush out, and it's too late.
Yeah.
So you need to think about it in advance, really. And the only other thing, not only a big freeze, but wind. And we do tend to get an awful lot of wind around, and particularly heavy, high winds these days. And so roses, those are my big bugbear. If you really need to prune your roses down by about a third, I've got a couple there that are gone to heaven. And so I'm pruning those down by a good third. And the reason for that is that if the wind catches the top of a very tall rose, it rocks, and your roots actually are wind rocked. And so all that happens is that the roots don't actually sort of search for food. They just sort of sit there and then think, oh, well, there's a big hole around our roots, so water will get in, and then you get rot and heaven knows what in. So prune your roses down by about a third, and you sort of get over that sort of problem.
Sounds again like another thing to well sort out properly for the winter. The other thing that needs sorting for the winter probably if we've still got them is winter veg. I mean the
Oh.
conditions for growing are a little different now than say they were sort of 10 years ago, aren't they?
Absolutely. And of course, things like brassicas, so with that you've got Brussels sprouts and you've got cabbage and you've got kale and all that sort of thing. But I love growing them, but I just do object to having a food bar for pigeons. And
Pigeons,
they will,
the ultimate problem.
yeah. And whilst I agree they're wildlife and they need to eat just as much as we do, I'm not sort of spending my time really sort of growing all this lovely brassicas crop for the little winged creatures to come along, and they will devastate the crop. So you do need to protect any greens that you've got. So do you eat greens, Tony?
I do like greens, but I have to say, there I was the other Sunday out having Sunday lunch, and it was a bit of pork belly, rather nice. And this
Oh.
place had a rather good reputation for its Sunday lunches, and it had all the usual bits and pieces. And you know how chefs like to stick food on top of something so that the meat stands up and it makes the plate look rather large.
Yeah.
Well, this was the effect of something that the chef had done. He put the pork belly on a whole pile of kale. The plate looked massive until he removed the pork, and then you just got this great lump of soggy kale. I dislike kale, but I do like greens. I do like cabbage. I do like sprouts. But kale, no, I couldn't give it away. It's horrible stuff.
Really? Now, I what I like, and there's a lot in the supermarkets at the moment, is a long, thin one, very, very dark green, and it's called Cavallero de Nero, and it's absolutely
Sounds like the
smashing.
name of a movie star, doesn't it, really?
It does.
Cavaliero De Niro, Robert's
Yeah.
brother.
It's really lovely, actually. I think it's a super one. Now, the interesting thing about that, and this is a chef's tip. That what you can do with it is that you get the leaf and you put it down on a chopping board and you take the midrib out.
All
Okay?
right.
So, and then you chop the leaves up into reasonable size squares, spray oil over it. I use sunflower oil, put them on a baking tray, stick it in the oven, keep an eye on it, and you've got kale crisps.
Oh, now that does sound interesting. Could you stick honey on them as well, before you bake them?
No, I don't do anything.
No, but I mean, could you, is what I'm saying. Mrs. W likes to do these things, and she does carrots, and she does them wonderfully well with things like, funny enough,
Oh,
honey.
right. Yeah, you can
And it
do
just
whatever you
sweetens them
like. I
up.
mean,
Got to
I
try
just
that
tend to
now.
put oil on them, and you can just eat them like crisps. And I'll tell you another thing, my dog will eat them as well. It's a good way of getting greens into kids as well,
Greens
Tony.
in the form of crisps. Oh, I love that idea. We're gonna have to try that one, I think, now. If it certainly beats having kale on your plate under the pork belly, let's put it that way.
Yeah, I must admit. Well, I had some bream yesterday, and that was on a sort of a mashed potato with parsley, and that was really very nice. And that was at Wisley Gardens.
Oh, right, okay.
Very posh that was. Very
Yeah,
posh.
I would think so. So yeah, we've got winter veg to worry about. We've got to wrap the pots. And what else is there that well, we need the essential jobs that we need to be doing in November and December, remembering that of course the weather hasn't turned cold yet, although I'm told
No.
it's about to.
Yeah, deadheading, all the usual stuff. Geraniums, hardy geraniums, you can take those right the way down. All the leaves you can take right off down to the crown. They'll be perfectly okay. That's not a problem. It's just a case of clearing up, but not being too tidy. I know that seems a bit daft, but when I empty any pots that I've got, like I'm repotting some old bulbs at the moment. And when I take the soil out of that, I check it for any little vine weevil grubs, and then I will reuse that. If I find vine weevil grubs in there, little white maggoty things with a bright orange head, and don't reuse that compost whatsoever, because there'll be eggs in the soil. So you don't want to do that. But if you find any of those lovely maggots and you've got a bird table or anything, you see the blackbirds come down. They're within minutes. And they're having a tasty morsels. So there we are. So the other thing to think about is winter bedding, actually.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people have left their geraniums and everything in. Now, I like zonal geraniums, or, you know, the ones that we always used to have in parks departments and things like that. But I take them out of a pot if I've got them outside. I pot them up and I bring them indoors. And the reason for that is I've got a cold conservatory. It's frost-free, but that's about it. And, you know, those will flower for me all through the winter. And they keep on flowering as long as you don't overwater them.
Yeah.
I've got one at the moment which is called Apple Blossom, which is absolutely phenomenal. It's pale, pale apple blossom pink. And, you know, it brightens up the conservatory straight away, and it's free.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that surprises me with all of this stuff is the things that you can grow at certain times of the year that you think perhaps they shouldn't, but they do. And the other thing is, of course, everything gets speeded up, because I'm looking at something that says you ought to be looking at planting tulip bulbs for spring display next year.
Oh, most positively, before the end of
November.
It's
terrifying. We haven't got to Christmas yet, and here we are talking about spring.
Oh, well, you've got to look ahead, haven't you?
Yep.
The only other thing I was going to say to you is let's do a check. I don't know whether you grow winter pansies or anything else. Which would you prefer? Do you like pansies, which are the great big fat faces?
They remind me of childhood.
Or do you like the little violas?
Well, the pansies, as I say, remind me of childhood, and funny enough, remind me of my grandmother, rest her soul, who died a very long time ago. Pansies were one of those things that, of course, as kids, you grew. Violas, I didn't know very much about, so my guess is I'd be rather more curious about violas than pansies.
Yeah. Pansies, I find, during the winter, because the flower is so big and fleshy, then they tend to get frosted very, very quickly. Whereas the little violas don't seem to have that problem. And I think if you're doing a hanging basket or a trough outside, just a few of those, and there's some lovely violas at the moment, which have got dark purple tops and a white bottom lip on the petals. Really lovely. And there's an orange one as well with a black splodge.
So
and
these,
I like them.
These are winter hanging baskets, are they?
Yeah. I'm not a hanging basket fan, mainly because, because I do an awful lot with bloom these days, southeast in bloom, we're trying to get people away from the thought of that when they say southeast in bloom, for instance, in bloom means loads and loads of hanging baskets. And we're trying to get away from the fact that, you know, you shouldn't be using too many non-sustainable plants.
Yeah.
If you're doing a winter hanging basket,
yeah,
try something like Skimmia in it. And Skimmia is an evergreen.
Yeah.
And it's got bright, bright red flowers in it. And it's absolutely super. And then when the hanging basket's finished, you can take it out and either pot it up or pop it in the garden.
Yeah, I mean, with a lot of this, isn't this being driven by the gardening industry, so to speak? Because I remember hanging baskets became a thing in the 70s, didn't they? You know, everybody, you had to have a hanging basket, but they were always summer. And come September, October, you took them down because they looked decidedly rough and sort of worse for the wear. Winter hanging baskets weren't a thing. I'm just wondering when they became a thing and why.
I think mainly when sustainability became more important to all gardeners. Mm. And so you're not chucking stuff out at the end of the day. And then, of course, we had 2 years ago, we had this big problem with Busy Lizzie's. And Busy Lizzie's got this disease and nobody could grow them. And not even the growers. Mm. And so for a couple of years, we didn't have Busy Lizzie's. So I think that's when it all started to come up. And people realising it's the same as peat-free compost, isn't it?
Mm.
We're going down the road of peat-free compost.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get into that today. Because
no, that's fine.
People will be shouting out, oh, I don't like it, I don't like it. And I would agree with them, actually. But there are ways and means. When
it's familiarity, I think, with that one.
When it comes to the spring, Tony, we'll talk composts, I think.
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea because, say, it's like so many things these days. There are options for all sorts of different approaches to things. And certain people are behind one type and other people are behind another type. And they will have their opinions on these things.
Yep, and, absolutely.
Yeah, it's hard to know who's right and who's wrong.
Yeah, well, I don't think anybody is. I think you've got to go halfway between. The only other thing to say before we finish is sweet peas.
Oh, of course, yeah, sweet peas. Been around since time immemorial, I think, haven't they?
Yeah, they've been around forever. But autumn-sown sweet peas are really good, but you need to keep them as cold as possible. So don't grow them on the kitchen windowsill. They grow too quickly, and then you're going to having to stop them. So you need to grow them cold as you can.
Oh, okay. Indoors or outdoors or greenhouse or just outdoors?
Cold greenhouse, cold frame, anything like that. And start them off in little pots rather than in a tray. And you'll be absolutely fine. I mean, they really do. They go through the winter and you don't have to bother with them at all. And then you can plant them out again when the better weather comes.
Yeah. Now, just before we do wind this up, the list of bits that I have for this month included number 10, something you were talking about, which is pansies and brightening up pots and containers. But they also suggest planting heathers in these pots as well. Kind of going to make it a bit busy, isn't it?
Not necessarily. I mean, some of the little ones are absolutely fine. The only thing you need to be careful of is that you need some form of sort of ericaceous compost. Mm. So if you've got an ericaceous compost for heathers, then because they are, their Latin name is Erica anyway. And so if you do that, a mixture of ericaceous and peat-free compost, then you're sort of halfway there. They do look nice. I think they're really nice. There's all sorts of different varieties and different colours you can get. And then, of course, you know, you can pop them out of your winter baskets or winter troughs and pop them in the garden again.
Mm, it's all going to look rather colourful, isn't it?
I think so.
Even in the middle of winter.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Which, of course, given how dull and dreary winter can be, is always a little bonus to see something lovely and colourful in the garden. Jean, we're actually there, I think, for now. And,
okay.
Let's hope and pray that some of these things come to fruition properly. And, pansies versus violas. Going to find out what is what with that one. Going to open that one up. And,
yes. If anybody has, a great sort of say, I don't like pansies or I don't like violas, do that. And the only other thing to say to you is that next week I'm going to be doing a tea party for Roundabout Talking News.
Oh, right. Okay.
And Talking News is a magazine and a newsletter for people who have restricted sight.
Well, let's hope that all works out kind of nice. I mean, I've done years ago, I've done discos, funny enough, for the hard of hearing. And you might think, how does that work? But it does. It's all on vibrations and things. It's amazing what can be done for those who have those sorts of impairments. But I was going to say, studio@susieradio.com, pansies versus violas, and we'll compare notes in a month's time. For now, Jean, good to talk, and say we'll catch up with you very soon.
Okay, love. See you soon.
See you. Bye-bye.